I want to challenge you. This is not just for our veterans and soldiers, active military who are here, but this is for everybody. But I think it'll apply probably better to those who have served. They'll understand this maybe just a bit better. But I think it'll be a help for everybody. So Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34. We're going to read just a few verses together. This is Jesus teaching. He's in my Bible, just above this section, there's a little title there. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. We'll go through this and just read some of these verses. I won't read through the rest of the chapter, just through chapter verse number 34 through verse number 37. And then just take some of these verses and apply them to our lives and give you a challenge. And hopefully it'll be something that'll be helpful to you. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, the Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I don't even have a title for this message this morning, but I want to break these verses down and maybe challenge you a little bit. That very, very first verse, verse number 34, when he had called, this is Jesus, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, not just his disciples, but another group of people, he said unto them, now realize who's talking. This is Jesus Christ. This is the creator of the universe, God in the form of a man here on the earth. And he's looking out at a group of people that have come to hear him speak. And here's what Jesus says to them: "Whosoever will come after me, let him," and he gives three things, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, soldiers are excellent examples of people who deny themselves and take on a life of hardship. They give up many of their freedoms so that others can live freely. They live for their mission. They live for their men. They leave family to serve for months or years at a time. They know hardship. They know how to deny themselves. A good soldier knows how to follow. They understand the importance of authority. They know that to hesitate or to question authority can mean the difference between life and death. And in this passage, Jesus told his disciples that in order to follow him, they would be expected to deny themselves, carry their cross, and follow him. Look at the next verse, verse number 35. Jesus continues with the same message that he's teaching. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Jesus said in verse number 34 that a disciple would be needing to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. And then here in verse 35, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall find it." And at the prospect of carrying a cross, I can just imagine looking there and being part of that group, and Jesus is talking and hearing a cross. At the prospect of carrying a cross, some of the disciples, no doubt, thought twice about the decision to follow Jesus. Up to now, it had been great. He'd been healing people, and the blind are receiving their sight, and lame people are being raised so they can walk. And it's been wonderful, and they're hearing him teach, and the coming kingdom is just an amazing thing. But now he says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross. The cross was a terrible, cruel form of torture that ended in death. As I understand, the Romans, I don't know if they invented it, but they brought it to the forefront, and they used it in such an amazing way, in a big way, not a good way, but in a huge way. All but one of the 12 apostles, of course, Judas wouldn't be counting in here, he denied Christ, but all but one of them, these closest followers of Jesus, died miserable, torturous deaths. And I won't go through and give you all the details of them, but one for an example, Peter was to be crucified, and before he was crucified, as history tells us, he asked to be crucified upside down just so that he wouldn't be just like his Savior because he didn't feel that he was worthy of dying the same death as Jesus. All but one of them died martyr deaths. They died because they decided to follow Jesus, the one who didn't, simply wouldn't die when they tried to kill him. So he was exiled to an island on the Mediterranean Sea. We know him as John, sometimes John the Revelator. He's the one that wrote the book of Revelation from the island of Patmos. They tried to kill him like they'd kill the others, but God wasn't done with him, so he wouldn't die. And then he wrote that last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Jesus taught his followers that if they lived their lives for themselves, they would waste their lives. I want you to consider this statement. Jesus said it in verse 35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." So you could lose your life, obviously, by paying the ultimate price and laying your life down on the line. But Jesus taught if they lived for themselves also, they'd be wasting their lives. But if they gave their lives for Christ's sake, they would save their lives. He's talking about persecution here, and he's talking to his disciples. So he's telling them if they denied their Savior, in order to escape death, they would somehow lose their life. It's a riddle. It almost doesn't make sense. But if they gave their lives for Christ's sake, they would save their lives. If they sacrificed their life for Jesus, somehow their life would be spared. And as you read this and you think, wait a minute, how can I lose my life and save it? How can I save my life and lose it? It doesn't make sense. There's a missing a piece of this puzzle. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That doesn't make sense. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That just doesn't make sense. There's obviously a piece missing. Something needs to be brought to light to connect these two pieces of this puzzle that just don't fit together. Then you realize that Jesus was talking about more than just physical life. And when you realize that he's talking not just about our life here on this earth, but he's talking about eternity. And he's talking about more than just physical life. He's talking about more than just our body. He's talking about our soul. Now, how do I know he's talking about that? Well, in verse 36, that's what he says. So verse 35 said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And then right after that, he goes into this next statement. "For what shall it profit a man?" This is a question. "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We're talking about more than just sacrificing our bodies. We're talking about more than just laying our life on the line. We're talking about more than just being a casualty, being a sacrifice physically so that the cause of Christ can go forward or for freedom or for whatever it is. We're talking about the spiritual realm. We're talking about our soul. Let me help to illustrate this. Men, if you're married, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten into an argument with your wife? I'm not done. Over something silly, right? Then you just kept fighting the battle just for the sake of not losing the argument. Now, don't raise your hands because I don't want you to get in trouble this morning. I'll raise my hand for us. It really doesn't matter who wins this argument except the principle behind it. And the principle is, I don't want to lose, right? So you start arguing about which way the toilet paper is supposed to roll off of the little handle thingy that they put there. All right? And we get an argument over this. And maybe it's that silent argument where you don't actually speak words. You just go in and silently flip it over. And then you win for a while. And then you go back in and it's been silently flipped over again. And you're thinking, okay, the battle is on. You know, something silly. And you get into arguments like that or you share the same tube of toothpaste. You know, a lot of marriages might be saved if we just bought an extra tube of toothpaste. One for him, one for her, and one of you squeezes it, right? You squeeze the toothpaste out. The other one of you folds it. Maybe it's a little fold at the end or maybe a little triangular fold like you're folding an American flag. However it is you do it, and you get in an argument about this. So here's what we do. We're just dense, all right? Guys, I'm just going to say it for everybody. We're just dense sometimes. We want to not lose this argument. But in order to not lose this argument, we just keep fussing, we keep fighting the battle. And here's what we're doing. We're fighting a battle that we're going to lose just so that we can win this argument. We win the argument, but we're sleeping on the couch. All right? Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" You're winning something big, you're getting something big, but lose his own soul, which is infinitely more important than whatever it is we thought we were going to gain. Throughout history, soldiers have been part of armies that had the goal of conquering the world. Now, American soldiers have been different than the others. We've sacrificed immensely so that other countries could have freedom. We fought wars on foreign soil that then helped the defeated enemy rebuild their lives. But that's not how most armies have treated the rest of the world throughout history. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in an amazingly short time, but then couldn't conquer his own addiction to alcohol and died. You've got Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler, each trying to conquer the world and doing everything in their own power to gain the whole world. Now, you're most likely not trying to conquer the world this morning. You may be trying to finish your education. You may be trying to raise a family. You may be trying to build enough wealth to retire someday. These are all good things. You may be trying to get a job that you enjoy that will simply pay the bills. You might be putting in lots of extra time so that you can get the next promotion. Whatever it is that you're doing, can I get you to stop and think just for a minute this morning how terrible it would be if you actually accomplished your goals and lost your soul in the process? I heard a story about this group of guys back during the Civil War era. It wasn't during the war, but back in that time frame. These men worked on a steamboat on the Mississippi River. You know, one of those big boats with the paddles on both sides, the paddle, what are they called? Paddle boats? Paddle wheel boats, something like that? I'm from the West. I don't know what they're called. I remember thinking the Rio Grande. Wow, look at this big river, the mighty Rio Grande. Then I went to the East for the first time. We drove across the Mississippi, and we still were driving across the Mississippi, and still driving across the Mississippi. And I thought, wow, this is like the ocean. It was just a river. Here they were, this riverboat crew. They were taking supplies from the north down to the south to sell. From up north in the like Missouri area and down towards New Orleans. And they had a boatload of stuff to sell. I don't remember what it was, but as they were going down the river to sell what their boat was carrying, they came across another riverboat crew. And they started exchanging some words. We would call it trash talk. All right? Our boat's faster than your boat. Your mama wears combat boots. You know, trash talk. And they started talking to each other. They started saying, you know, we could beat your boat down there. You know how it is, guys, in a race, we'll race anything. So they started racing. They started throwing the fuel, and these were steam-operated boats, and the hotter the fire got, the more steam they would have, the faster the paddle wheels would go, the faster the boat would go down the river. So they started throwing in their fuel. They threw in their coal. And as they were going down the river, they ran out of fuel. But they wanted so badly to win the race, they started throwing other things into the fire. They started throwing the products that they were transporting from the north down to the south, they started throwing those into the furnace to keep the fire going so that they could win the race down to New Orleans. Before they got to the end, they burned up all their fuel. They'd burned up everything they were supposed to be transporting. Now, one of them undoubtedly won the race, but they forgot the purpose of their mission. They won the race, but they lost everything else that they'd been trusted to take care of and to get to the port. Jesus said how it would be a terrible thing. Let me read that to you again. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is the part of you that will live forever. And the Bible teaches very clearly that it will live forever either in heaven or in hell. Jesus was teaching his followers, and here's what he said. It came out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. He said this, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You are created, you have a body, that's what we see, but you also have a soul. Our body doesn't live forever, but our soul does. And our soul will live forever either in heaven with God or, you know, the Bible actually, Jesus himself, he taught more about hell than he taught about heaven. Do you know why? He simply wanted to warn us. He wanted to let us know that it's a real place that really exists. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, I'm going way back now. The Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are a living soul. Every one of us here today, we've got this body, and we've got the part that everybody sees, but inside we're a soul. When this body dies, our soul lives on. Your soul, you are a soul, you're an individual that will spend it forever somewhere. So let me ask you this question. I wrote it wrong. It's not going to come out right. Would you really gain the whole world? What if you did really gain the whole world? Would it be worth losing your soul? And I'm just going to be brief. We're almost done this morning, but you need to think about that. What if you really did gain the whole world? What if you really could accomplish what nobody else has accomplished to bring peace to the whole world, but you lose your own soul? What would happen if you were to really accomplish all your goals in this life? And I think you ought to set goals, and I think you ought to try to accomplish those goals, and I think you ought to build wealth for retirement, and I think you ought to finish your education, I think you ought to work for the promotion. But what if you do get all that? Is it worth losing your own soul? Now, I'm not saying you have to trade that, but what I'm saying is we need to stop and we need to think about this. God, what do I need to do so not to lose my soul? So that I can spend forever in heaven when this life is over. Where will you be spending eternity? Don't spend your life winning the wrong race. If I can let that sink in just for a minute. Don't spend your life winning the wrong race. Well, there's all kinds of races we can get involved in. There's the rat race. There's a human race. Okay, those are different kinds of races. But there's all kinds of races you can get involved in. The one that is the most important is this finding out, God, what do I need to do to be saved? Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 37. This is our last verse. Jesus said this, just to back up. For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In the very next verse, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it cost to buy back your soul if you lost it? I've never thought of that question before. Really, but as I was studying for this message, I thought, I think that's where he's going with this. So it's not going to profit me if I gain the whole world but lose my own soul, but what could I trade, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it cost to buy it back? If I was to somehow lose my soul, when we talk about losing your soul, I'm not talking about something really crazy, weird, metaphysical. I'm simply talking about dying and spending eternity separated from God in a place called hell. That's what Jesus is talking about. What would it take to buy it back? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? I guess you could say it this way. What is your soul worth? You may not realize this, but your soul is so valuable. And when I say your soul, I mean you. As an individual, you are so valuable that God came to earth in the form of a man and died on the cross and paid for your sins. This is amazing. The value of your soul is more than you could even imagine. The Bible says that God did all of that, came to earth, died on the cross, paid for your sins, and he did that to redeem you. The word redeem means to buy you back. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For Titus 2:14, the Bible says this, talking about Jesus, it says, he who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. What could a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, Jesus died on the cross in exchange for your soul. 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Can I get you to stop and think for just a moment? The price that God paid when he came to this earth and died on the cross, and he did that to redeem your soul. That means to buy your soul, to purchase forgiveness for your soul. There's no amount that any of us can pay that could even come close to what our soul's worth. So, and I'm finishing, but listen to this. That's why God offers salvation for free. Think about this. The question, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What's the answer? Nothing. I have nothing. I own nothing. I have nothing that I can give to buy my soul back from sin, to redeem my own soul. There's no way I can do this. I'm a sinful man. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of my sin, I am destined for an eternity separated from God at a place called hell. Jesus talked about it so often in the scriptures. And there is no way, there's nothing I can pay. There's no way that I can purchase my soul back What can a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer is nothing, but there is one person who did give what was necessary to purchase your soul, and he's the only one that could do that, and that is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is God, he is perfect, he never sinned, he came to this earth, he died on the cross, he shed his precious blood for you and for me to buy back my soul, to buy back your soul. Let me say it in words that don't sound so weird, because when we start talking about buying back our soul, the world's taken that and used that phrase in so many different ways, but let me say it this way. Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for your sins to give you eternal life. The Bible uses that term a lot, to give you eternal life. The Bible says salvation is for free. You can't earn it because there's nothing we can do to buy it. There's nothing I could do. I don't own enough to be able to purchase redemption for my soul and forgiveness for my sins. But God said this in Ephesians 2:8. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved." That means saved from hell, rescued like a drowning person would be saved from the water. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That's the only way we can get it, because we can't afford it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's another verse, the Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death." My punishment, my payment for my sin that I deserve is to die. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift. The reason God offers salvation for free is because there's nothing we can do to buy it back. "For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The Bible says this. Listen carefully to this verse. You may know it already, but listen carefully. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God offers salvation for free. "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" When I was 5 years old, my dad asked me, he said, "Dave, would you like to know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And I said, "Yes." And I can remember as a five-year-old boy sitting on the fake green leather couch in my parents' den, and my dad taking the Bible and showing me, "Dave, you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He showed that verse to me. He showed me that the punishment for sin, the wages of sin is death. He showed that to me. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He showed that to me. Then he showed me this verse, and I'm going to read it to you and we're done. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever means anybody. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grow up on. It doesn't matter what ethnicity a person is. We're all the same race. It's just the human race. That's the only race there is, by the way. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your parents did. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church, your parents a pastor or deacon or Sunday school teacher. None of that matters. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's promise to you, if you would realize that you're a sinner, realize the punishment for sin is to die and go to a place called hell, and simply believe God enough to call out to him and say, "God, please save me. Please forgive me of my sins." God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I don't know your heart this morning, but let me ask you this. Are you going to lose your own soul? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to save you? Have you accepted his free gift of forgiveness, or are you going to lose your own soul? I just want you to think about that this morning. There's so many more verses in the Bible we could look at. I can't take the time to do that this morning, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to push anything on you, but let me say this. "For whosoever is anybody shall call upon the name of the Lord," and God's promise, "shall be saved." And if you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's not a better time than this morning to do that. Father, I thank you for letting us take some time this morning and opening up your word and just looking about the need for salvation. Lord, I'm surrounded this morning by people that I respect greatly, and I am so thankful for. And if I had one opportunity to share one truth with them, this would be the one, that every person needs to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, I pray that you'd convict hearts this morning. I pray that you would help somebody here this morning that may have not yet trusted you as their Savior, that you'd convict their heart this morning and help them to realize that, yes, I'm a sinner and I've never asked Jesus Christ for forgiveness for my sins. I've never trusted Him completely. I've never accepted it as a gift. I've always thought I had to do something. But Lord, I pray that You would give them a desire this morning to trust You.